This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We would love for you to join us at 8:30 or 10 a.m. on Sunday morning at the City Forum. In the meantime, if you would like to share a prayer request, make a financial contribution, or take a step at Real Life, you can text MISSION to 97000. Now enjoy the podcast.
I just spilled my coffee right on the guy right behind me. That's good. Sorry about that. I mean, now's the time to spill your coffee. Right now, if you need to spill it, just go ahead and spill it. Ephesians 6 is where we're going to be this morning. Ephesians 6. About 15 years ago, I began to discover the amazing things that the Bible teaches about work. And it absolutely blew me away. And so for the past 15 years, every opportunity I've had, I've been collecting books, Christian books, books from a Christian perspective on vocation. For the past 15 years, anytime I've seen a book about work from a Christian perspective, I bought it. I've been collecting books. I've got like a whole, like it looks like I'm doing a PhD on work, right? I've got all the books. And my plan was to sometime go away for a month, go away for 2 months, and put together the Mother of All Sermon series. And to come back and just have this amazing sermon series on work. But I haven't gone away for a month, and I couldn't wait any longer. And the reason I couldn't wait any longer is because we work. And it's what takes up most of our time, your time, and my time. And I so badly wanted to be helpful to you from God's word about work. Through my journeys as a Christian, being a part of churches, I had not myself sat through specific sermon series that addressed the topic of work. I've heard sermons about work, but I hadn't seen a big picture about work in the Bible. So what I want to let you know about is this sermon series, it's just a sampling of what's to come later. In other words, my aim is not to be like one and done on work. I think that there's so much that God wants us to understand and live out in the concept of work from a biblical perspective that you can expect sometime down the road to hear us open up the sacred scriptures again and talk about work. And so Ephesians 6 is where we're going to be this morning. It helps to know what God is doing in the world and in the universe if we're going to understand what God thinks about work. And I want to ask you this morning, what was Jesus accomplishing on the cross when he went to the cross? And most of us would quickly and easily say, well, Jesus was forgiving sinners like you and me, that he was adopting us in his love, that he was rescuing us out of our folly, that he went to the cross so that he could cleanse us from our guilt and from our shame and to reconcile us to God. And all of that is true with 100 exclamation points behind it. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was removing this sin barrier that stood between us and God so that we could be united into a real, life-giving, joy-filled relationship with God. And the good news is that if you don't yet know that relationship, you can know it today. The God that made you and made your fingerprint, he loves you and he wants to be in a relationship with you, and he sent Jesus to the cross to pay the penalty for your sin so that you wouldn't have to and you could be reconciled into a relationship with God where he becomes your best friend. He becomes your father. He becomes the one that you worship and that you live for. But God was not just sending Jesus to forgive us of our sins and take us to heaven. That's not the only thing that God was doing. But rather, God was seeking to engage in a relationship with us where he would begin to transform us from the inside out. He wanted to transform our thinking about ethics. He wanted to transform the way we approach friendship. He wanted to transform the way we think about and the way we approach marriage. He wanted to transform everything about us, including work. Many of us, we've lived our whole life thinking, well, God's only concerned about like my relationships, and he's not concerned about my work. But the Bible says it's totally opposite. That indeed he put Adam and Eve in the garden to work it. God himself was a worker. Jesus showed us the dignity of work. Jesus, being a carpenter, the majority of his earthly life was showing us that every vocation is sacred. If you grew up in church, you've probably heard things like that the preacher's job is the one that's really sacred. Where do we come up with that? Where does that come from? I submit to you, I don't think that that's the Bible. I think that that's just like Christian jargon, and it sounds good, and get some amens. I believe the God of the universe looks down upon your work, your daily work, what he's entrusted you to do, and he says, it is sacred. It is important. Indeed, in the book of Genesis, what we saw is that God told Adam and Eve, I'm entrusting this earth that I made to you. You're my representatives in this earth, and I'm commissioning you to subdue it and to take dominion over it. That's to bring order of it and bring beauty out of it. So, do we have anybody that's 12 years or under in the room this morning? Most of them are real life kids. There we go, my man. Yes, I see you. All right, thank you, thank you. Listen, you don't have to wait until you get your first paying job to work. When mom and dad ask you to clean your room, the king of the universe is putting work in your hands, and he cares about how you do it. That's what we're going to see this morning, is that God cares so intimately. Think about it like this. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says this. The Apostle Paul, he says, behold, if anyone is in Christ, that means if you've turned from your sin and trusted Jesus, if you've been adopted as a child of God, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Don't you love that image? God is creating something new in us as a Christian. It's not just, whoa, I now have my sins forgiven. No, there's so much more to it than that. God is saying, no, I'm molding and I'm making, indeed, I'm creating something new. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means you've turned to Jesus, you've trusted Jesus, he's come into your life, you're forgiven of your sins, heaven is your future home, and now God is making something new. The rest of the verse says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old is gone, and the new has come. And this morning, I want you to think about, what's the old way to work, and what's the new way to work? If God is making me a new creation, what's the old way that I might work? And what's the new way that he might want me to work? And so in the Bible, this is what we see. This big picture, progressive picture of work. The first thing that we see is that work is good. This is what we see in the garden. Before sin ever entered into the world, God came up with work. God himself worked, and nobody was asking him to show up for work, but that's what God did. In creating the world, God decided he would work. Work was good. And then as sin entered into the world, and as God cursed the ground because of sin, we see that work was frustrated. And we feel that in our bones, don't we? Like, work can be so frustrating. It's just like, I mean, what we've said in this sermon series is even if you got to pick your exact job and your exact pay and the exact people that you got to work with, it would still be frustrating. Why? Because God has declared a curse on the ground that has made work frustrating. Indeed, God cursed the work partnership between Adam and Eve. He said there'll be strain in between that work partnership. But the good news is that work can be renewed through Jesus Christ. So there is great hope for work. And then what we'll see next week is that work is perfected. So this is the big picture. This is the big picture of what the Bible teaches about work. And indeed, what you can see is like, oh, that's actually the big picture of what God is doing in salvation history too. It is, but it's how we can best understand work. So I'm titling the sermon this morning just simply this, Work Renewed. And in Ephesians 6, that'll be our primary text. So I want you to follow along with me, picking up in verse 5, reading through 9. If you're there, just hold up your Bible, hold up your phone, let me know you're tracking with me. it's so important that you see what the sacred scriptures say for yourself and you don't just listen to me say it. Ephesians 6, picking up in verse 5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord, not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that you would speak to us personally, powerfully. Father, we pray that the gospel would renew our attitude and our approach to work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want us to look at 5 ways that the gospel renews our work. And all of our points aren't coming out of this exact text. Some of them will come out of some other scripture texts. But the first one is that the gospel gives us a new goal. A new goal for work. For many of us, our goal is, let's get to Friday, right? Like, let me go to work. Let me clock my time. Let me do my deal so I can get to the weekend. Others of us, it's the goal is like, let me get to vacation. I'm going to work because I know there's going to be a reward of a vacation at the end of it. I just want to get to the beach. That's why I'm willing to grit my teeth and get to work. Others of us are like, man, I'm just going to work because if I don't, everybody in culture will think I'm a lazy bum. I just don't have any other option. If I'm going to fit in this world, I got to go to work. I got to show up for work because if I don't, my boss is going to fire me. I'm just showing up for my boss. There's a new goal, and we see this in Ephesians 6, look at 5 through 6. Bondservants, let me just pause there. Paul's addressing bondservants. Some versions say slaves, and it's really important for you and me to understand that as we're reading this, the ancient framework for slavery was something completely different than what more modern-day slavery would have looked like. Indeed, when you really dig in to understand what was a bondservant of that day, it was much more akin to a worker. The bondservants of that day would have could have been trained to be a doctor in some places. So as you think about the horrors of slavery in our country, and then you read this in the Bible, it takes a little bit of pause and a little bit of understanding to understand exactly what God is addressing here. So without doing a deep dive this morning, because that would take a little length, what I want you to understand is as Paul is addressing bondservants, it's a lot more like a modern day worker than it is what in our country's recent history, what we would have understood actually as slavery. So just establishing that. If you want to go back and listen, Pastor Tim did an excellent job of preaching on this text back when we were going through Ephesians, and he took a little bit of a deeper dive to explain what I just gave you in a minute. But understanding that, look at this, verse 5 and 6, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Do you hear the goal of work here? The goal of work is a true heart. The goal of work is doing the will of God. If for some of us, it's a complete reorientation to the way we think about work. In other words, God has a plan for work, and our goal for work isn't all these little mini insufficient goals. Rather, there's a Godward goal. And the Godward goal of work is to do the will of God from a true and sincere heart. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is 1 Corinthians 10:31, which actually gives us a lens to understand all of life. And Paul says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So you might have a lot of little goals of why you go to work, why you report to the job, why you clean your room when your parents ask you to do it, why you study for the test when the teacher gives you a quiz coming up, a test. You might have a lot of reasons, a lot of goals for what you're seeking to accomplish. But as we understand God's revelation, his sacred scriptures, and as we understand what he's saying about work, he's saying there's one goal, and the goal is his will, a true heart, to the end of the glory of God. The glory of God. Friends, could I just submit to you, if you're a child of God in this place, work will always feel out of sorts to you if you don't have that as your goal. You'll always be looking for a new place because that job just won't feel right. If you get the goal wrong, you're not going to hit the bullseye. It's just like, I mean, like if you're out taking target practice, right? If you're out taking target practice, if you're deer hunting and you're looking through the scopes, and if you want to hit the deer, but you aim at a tree, you're not going to hit the deer. So if you want to actually enjoy work, you've got to aim at the right goal, and the right goal is the glory of God, to reflect the glory of God in your work. Well, how do you do that? Well, you go back to the beginning and you understand, what did he say to Adam and Eve? Subdue it. Take dominion over it. Why? Because God entrusted it to us. The sovereign king of the universe said to his creatures, I'm going to entrust you with an assignment, and your assignment is going to be work that I'm entrusting to you. It's not take it or leave it. It's take it and treasure it and be grateful for it, and then set your hands to it in such a way that your goal is to reflect the beauty of God, the order of God, the glory of God in what you're doing. If you want to be an awesome boss, if you want to be an awesome employee, get this as your goal. And so this is the way the gospel renews work. It shifts our whole goal in it. For some of us, our goal is retirement. So everything that we're thinking about is, okay, I want to get this job, and I want to get this promotion, and I want to move up, and I want to shift job so that I have a good retirement. What a small goal. What a small little shadow of a goal. But to think about, you can report to work on Monday morning, and in what you do from the 9 to 5, or the 4 to 2, or from the 5 to midnight, you can actually bring glory to Almighty God in what you do and how you do it. This is our new goal. That the gospel, as the Holy Spirit comes into our life, God begins to transform us from the inside out, and he gives us a whole new perspective, a whole new way to think about work. This is what God's entrusted to us. So from a sincere heart, Paul says, from a sincere heart, we get to do the will of God for the glory of God. I mean, for some of us this morning, like, we could just stop right there, couldn't we? You're like, Pastor, that's enough. Can I just go think on this all week long? Because that's enough. We got four more ways that the gospel renews our work. We see that the gospel gives us a new boss. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 7. We'll just read it in context. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling and with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Don't you love how practical the Bible is? I mean, you know how you act at work when the boss, like, goes out of town on vacation for 2 weeks? It's just like, oh, right? You know, it's like, hallelujah, right? She's gone for 2 weeks, right? It's just totally different. Why? The boss is out of town, right? It's like the Bible is so practical. The Apostle Paul knew that's exactly the way we would approach work. And he said, you're not working for your boss. Look at it with me again. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers. Shh, the boss is coming back in. Ship up, shape up, shape up. Here he comes, here she comes. But as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, look at verse 7. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord, not to man. You're not working for your boss. I mean, you are on a very small scale, but not in an ultimate sense. You're working for Jesus. You're working for God. If your boss is ruining your experience at work, it's because you're not thinking about your ultimate boss enough. Because that's who you're working for. Some of you today, for the first time, you can say, I got a new boss. Hallelujah. Listen, it's not that you roll into work and you puff out your chest and say, you're not my boss. No, she'll show you she's your boss, like in a New York minute, right? If you caught that, take that attitude at work, right? But every earthly boss is so flawed. Every earthly boss is a sinner, is broken, is imperfect, makes mistakes. Every earthly boss is annoying. Every single one is going to drive you crazy. Glory to God, we have a perfect boss who understands every difficult day we have at work, who understands that sometimes the workload is too much, who understands that sometimes the pay is too little. He understands. And he's the one that we're working for. Look at it with me again, as Paul said it. He says, rendering, verse 7, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. If you're working for the Lord Jesus, it will totally transform how you work. And if you're working for an earthly boss, then welcome to the game. Because that's what it can feel like some days. When she treats me this way, this is the kind of work I'm going to do. When he treats me this way, this is the kind of work I'm going to do. You no longer have to play that game. Jesus said, come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so your job may be difficult, and your job may be really frustrating, and your boss may be a pain in the neck. But the good news is, you've got a higher boss. You're not working for that boss. You're working for God as your boss. So there's these ways that the gospel renews our work as we understand these things. This requires a change in thinking that results in a change in our heart and attitude. And this requires a daily renewal to this reality. So kids 12 and under, when your parents ask you to clean your room, they're your boss. But there's a much bigger boss. And what you need to understand is that when your parents ask you to clean your room, God is asking you to clean your room. And when your boss asks you to do something at work, God is entrusting that work to you through your boss. And if you don't see it that way, you'll be miserable at work. You won't do the kind of work that you can do. You won't glorify God in your work the way you can. But the good news is you can take Jesus as your new boss, and it changes everything. It changes everything. It doesn't mean the work won't be hard. There is a curse, and it won't be perfected until Jesus comes again. It doesn't mean that your earthly boss won't be frustrating. But what it means is it won't rob you of your joy every single day. You'll have a fresh perspective, a new perspective. This is not like just a light switch. You don't hear the sermon, and you don't report back to work Monday, and you just flick a switch, and everything changes. This is something you've got to renew your mind to on a daily basis, and slowly over time, your attitude toward work and your approach to work will slowly change as you realize, I do actually have a new boss. You'll begin to pray about your work. You'll begin to approach your work so differently if you have a new boss. We have a new reward. This is beautiful. Look at verse, let's just read it in context again, pick up in verse 5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Wow. Whether he's a bondservant or free. So no matter like what your work situation is, if you do it with a new goal and a new boss from a sincere heart, like whatever you do, you're going to be rewarded for it. You're going to be, when Christ comes again, great will be your reward. And so here's the deal. Most of us, we think about work in terms of earthly reward, right? Promotion, bonus, weekend, vacation, better home, like pay the car off, like all these things. We think in terms of earthly rewards. Those are just mere shadows of what's to come. It's just a little foretaste of what's to come. That if you really approach work as though the glory of God is your goal and God is your boss and you do it from a sincere heart, all the good that you do at work, it's going to come back upon your head in mind-blowing ways in the new heavens and new earth. You're going to be entrusted with great authority in the new earth, infinite, ever-increasing joy will be yours. There'll be actual reward. So I want to encourage you, church, be motivated by the reward that comes from work. Just don't stop at the reward of a promotion, but look to the heavens. That's why Paul said, think upon things above, not on things on this earth in Colossians. Hey, think about what's going to last forever. Don't fix your gaze on what's temporary. So there are temporary rewards, but Paul's talking about eternal rewards about how you go about your work. And so now it's like Tuesday afternoon is totally opening up to you, because what you do at 4:15 on Tuesday afternoon touches eternity. And some of us have never even thought about that. But what we do and how we do it and what's in our heart when we do it transforms our eternity on Tuesday afternoon at 4:15. Well, there's a new rhythm. And this is really important. Because when we hear about the reward, some of us will go, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, I'm storing up treasure in heaven. I'm going to drive my body into the ground. I'm going to be a workaholic for Jesus because I'm storing up treasure in heaven. I mean, if you trace out the logic, that would be good logic, wouldn't it? I'm not thinking about this earth. I don't care what it does to my body. I'm going to work myself into the ground because I'm not working for this earth. I'm working for the earth to come, right? Good logic. But as we know, in the Ten Commandments, God commanded to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And then in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, some of the religious leaders were rebuking Jesus for doing good on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, you guys totally missed the point of the Sabbath. And this is what he says in Mark 2, 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, in creation, God created 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. God created a rhythm of rest. 6 days you work, seventh day you rest. And what Jesus said is that God did not create the Sabbath day to create this like rigid thing you must fit into. But God created the Sabbath as a gift for his children to replenish. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying you were created for the Sabbath. No, you weren't created to fit your life in this little perfect little box of the Sabbath. No, Jesus said the Sabbath was created for you. The heart of God loves you. How do you know God loves you? Is he created a whole day for you to just to rest and enjoy the fruit of your labor and to reflect upon you're not having to uphold the universe. He is. That's one of the, that's part of it. Part of resting is going, okay, I'm not God. This world spinning on its axis is not dependent upon me, and I can stop working today and sit back, and it still spins, and the sun still rises. So part of it is God just inviting us into a deep relationship with himself through the Sabbath. So we're working for him, but then when we rest from our work, we fix our eyes upon him and we go, whoa, you're the one that created that work for me. You're the one that entrusted that work for me. You're the one that recharges me for this work. You're the one that gives me rest. You're the one that gives me a nap. You know, Psalm 127 says, he gives to his beloved sleep. Do you take a nap on the Sabbath? Some of you should. And receive the gift that God gives you. Can you imagine, like at Christmas or on your birthday, just choosing to not open a gift? Weirdo. just gonna look at it. Not gonna open it. That's what we are when we don't observe a Sabbath. That's what we are when we choose to work 7 days a week with no break, with no rest, with no rhythm of Sabbath. Weirdo. Why? I'm just kind of being funny. Like, I love you, church. I'm not calling you a weirdo. Like, totally. Like, just a little bit. We're just a little bit. Like, lowercase w weirdo, okay? Why? Because the Sabbath is a gift. It's not a rigid restriction. It's a gift. And to not rest from your work is to look at a gift and not open it. And not open it. Some of you are like, Pastor, I've been trying to get off on Sundays for months. I can't do it. Well, what day do you have off? Don't check your email on that day. Don't engage with work that day. Well, I'm afraid I'll get fired if I just choose to not take a call from my boss. I'm afraid I'll get fired. You need to sit down and have a one-on-one conversation with your boss and say, hey, if you want to talk about God and the rhythm of the universe, talk about it. But the logic is this: hey, I'll be a much better employee for you if I can take a day of rest. But if I don't have a day of rest, I'm going to run ragged and I'm actually not going to be fresh when I come back to work. I'm going to be a poor employee for you if you don't create some space for me to take rest. What a gift God has given us, the Sabbath rest. And then finally, we see that God's given us a new power. This is a lot, isn't it? It's a lot to think about. A new goal, new boss, new reward, new rhythm. It can actually be overwhelming. If you've never thought about these things, it can actually be overwhelming. Oh my gosh, there's so many new ways to think about work, and I've got so much to do to get it right. And here's the good news is we now have a new power. You're not left under yourself to put all this into practice. You're not left under yourself to figure all this out. You're not left under yourself to implement it. Rather, Jesus promised his disciples that power would come upon them. A supernatural power would come upon them. In other words, he recognized you are powerless, but I'm going to give you a power. You in your natural state are natural, but I'm going to give you a supernatural power. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus said it this way to his disciples. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus was saying, everywhere you go, you're going to be my representatives. Everywhere you go, you're going to witness to my goodness. Everywhere you go, you're going to be a witness to my grace. Everywhere you go, you're going to be a witness to my love. Everywhere you go, you're going to be a witness to the cross. Everywhere you go, you're my mini-me. You're my mini-me, Jesus said. Everywhere you go, you're going to be my witnesses. Imagine for the disciples when they heard that and they're thinking, here, there, to the ends of the earth, They must have been overwhelmed. Except that he said, my power will come upon you. For some of you, as you've been thinking about this whole work scenario, it feels like a mountain that you can't climb, that you'll never get to the peak. For some of you, you've just kind of found yourself in the grind and in the cycle of frustration, and you just think it can never get better. But the gospel renews our work. The gospel actually gives us a guide and a fresh perspective for our work to be better. And one of the ways God is designing this is to give us power by his Spirit who lives in us. Jesus was saying, my Spirit's going to come upon you. And as we continue to read through the book of Acts, we see the Spirit of God came in power upon these early disciples. And now we know that when we trust in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to live in our life, never to leave. So Monday morning, when you're back to the grind, you're not doing it in your own power. Tuesday afternoon, when you're just done for the day, you're not doing it in your own strength. Friday, when you're like, oh, when will the weekend get here? You don't have to do that because you're not working in your own strength. You can go strong to the finish because the power of the Spirit of the living God lives in you. And you're going to be different. You're to be different. You're to be the best worker at your job. You're to be the best employee in your business. Everybody's to stand back and marvel at how do you do that with that attitude so consistently? How do you do that? Well, let me tell you, it's not by my power. But there's a God that loves me so much that he came into my life by his Spirit. I don't know how I do it. It's just through his Spirit. It's just through his power. I can't take credit for it. I know, I got the parking spot for employee of the month. I get it, right? But I can't take credit for it. You just ought to write Jesus on that parking spot because he's the one that empowers me moment by moment, day by day. He's my new boss. He's my new reward. He's making work new for me in every way. So some of you will remember this. We started the series with this little breakdown here. When the gospel renews our work, complaining turns to gratitude. I have to go to work changes to I get to go to work. I'm representing the company changes to, and I'm now reflecting my God. I was a workaholic, but now I understand the Sabbath is God's gift to me. I was lazy, but now I'm a hard worker. I used to cut corners, but now I do honest work because I'm doing it from a sincere heart with a brand new goal. And I used to exploit my employees, but I read the rest of the passage that said, verse 9, masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening. Knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And there's no partiality with him. So masters, bosses, the way you treat your employees, you'll be rewarded for. With dignity and respect and fairness. And for some of us has been so meaningless, it becomes meaningful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Church, listen, it is God's desire that you flourish. You flourish. And we got to get work looking at it and approaching it through the biblical lens if we're going to flourish. Because we spend so much of our time there. God's got good stuff for you, church. God's got good stuff for you. I know this feels like a lot, but I just want you to write it down. I want you to re-listen to this sermon on the podcast. I want you to be more and more curious about what God has for you at work because it can be different for you. It can be different. It won't be perfect until Jesus comes. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. I hope you'll be here. Bring your coworkers with you. It's going to be a great way to close up out the sermon series. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you, God, for entrusting to us our sacred vocations. Lord Jesus, would you be our boss? Would you help us to embrace a new goal? Would you help us to embrace a new reward? Would you help us to embrace a new rhythm? And Lord, would you help us to experience a new power by your Spirit? We pray in Jesus' name and for the glory of his name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's worship our great God together.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something special in your heart today. We hope to see you on Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.